Covering the crew all season long on WTMJ, it's Brewers Extra Innings. Now live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee at the Avenue, here is your host, Dominic Cotroneo.
Make it 8-3. Great start for the Brewers 11 games into the season. They beat the Reds today by a 7-2 final after a rain delay. Wade Miley was great. Bryce Wilson was great. A little bit of everything once again from the offense. And they'll go for a series win tomorrow. And the forecast keeps looking a little bit better, like we're going to play ball tomorrow. I'm Dominic Cotroneo, 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. If you want to join us here on the program, please be joined by former Brewers pitcher Jerry Augustine here with us. And Augie, I want to start with the pitching. Before we get lost in the yelly and get lost in what the offense has been doing, Wade Miley did what he was asked. We knew it was going to be a short start today, but man, just the difference in styles, right? You got one guy throwing 99. He punched out 9 for a season high, but he still gave up all the runs. And you got another guy here coming back from injury. Nothing was harder than 90, 91 miles an hour. And he's carving them up. I just love the beauty of baseball, the salty vet versus the young pup, and the salty vet wins yet again.
Yeah, you got to look at Green, who pitched 6 innings, threw 105 pitches. Wade Miley pitched 4 innings and threw just 52. And that's the way Wade Miley is. And, you know, if you talk about Wade Miley as a left-hand pitcher, a lot of people say he's a throwback pitcher. I don't think he's as much of a throwback pitcher as a lot of people say. Most of your throwback left-handers are guys who used to throw the two-seam sinking fastball, throw the four-seam fastball up and in, and then use a breaking ball, curve ball, slider, whatever, cutter, whichever you want to call it, and a changeup. But Wade's a little bit different. He throws that four-seam fastball, and he has a little cut on his fastball. The one thing that he does very well, he commands the inside part of the plate to right-handers. He can throw it. Fastball is up in his zone. He throws a changeup and sliders down his zone. And I think the one thing he did last year, towards the second half of the year when he pitched the ball, he started throwing that cutter up in the zone. And I think that really paid off to him. And so it was so neat to see him go out there that first inning. I knew we were in good hands when the first guy gets on in a walk and he throws that double play ball. And I tell you, right away you see, what did you do? 4 innings, 6 ground balls. That's a typical Wade Miley outing, and he threw the ball very well.
Could he have gone longer? Perhaps. But the Brewers aren't going to be pushing it this time of year with him coming off of the shoulder fatigue. He's 37 years old, but in the eyes of Pat Murphy, he likes to say, well, when you're pushing 50 like he is, he makes a joke about that all the time. But, Wade, good to have him back in the fold. But I think even more important, Bryce Wilson today, yes, he gives up the solo homer to Ellie De La Cruz. And then from there, he was nails. 3 key innings of relief. He earns the win today. Another example of the unsung hero from a year ago doing the, quite frankly, not sexy work, but the team knows how important his performance was today.
Well, you know, I think you said it right when you said the unsung hero of last year and what Bryce Wilson was able to do for his ball club. And, you know, this year he really hadn't had that chance to go out there and get that multi-innings and get some consistent work and get out there and pitch in a game in a game like he did tonight. And I thought he was a real key. Wade pitches 4 innings, did exactly what we wanted him to do. Their pitch count was very something that they wanted to hold him to. But they really needed the guy who came in, that first stopper to come in after Wade to do a good job. And Bryce Wilson came in and did exactly what he did last year. He threw strikes. Yes, he gave up the home run. But I'll tell you what, he was dynamite tonight with location, a lot like he did last year, really using that good off-speed and that breaking ball real well, but commanding that fastball. I thought he threw the ball very well. He's such an important part of this ball club.
Let's get into the 3 most important plays. The easy pick for the first play, this happened in the first inning. The game began with a leadoff walk to Jackson Churio, and the Brewers have been making opponents pay when a leadoff man gets aboard. 2 batters later, Christian Yelich at the plate. We'll get that fired up for you here in just a moment. But Yelly went yard. Again, his 5th homer of the season. I mean, Augie, Is he back? Are we ready to actually entertain this conversation right now? Yes, it was a Great American Ballpark special, front row, 367, whatever it was, but it went over the wall, and that's all that matters, and Yelly's got five of them.
What a great swing tonight. You look at Yelly and what he's doing, and we talk about his patience and how he's able to lay off the pitches down and in that good hard breaking ball. Every once in a while, they get that fastball up and away from him. But he's able to fight those pitches off this year. But I'll tell you what was impressive. The swing on that breaking ball, a little hanging breaking ball on the outside half of plate from a guy who throws a fastball at 100. He just stayed back and he just used his arms and turned over the ball. And I'll tell you what, I think he's going to have one of those years, those MVP style years, because he has just seen the ball so well. He's hitting the ball where it's pitched. But I thought that was really impressive. Getting the ball off of a guy who throws the ball 99 miles an hour, ties a little bit of slider, makes a mistake with that slider, and hits the ball at the ballpark. And it really got the Brewers off on a good start.
Yeah, 2-0 quickly in this one. Then they added on in the second inning another one of my top plays of the game, the William Contreras two-run single. And that thing going through up the middle, scoring two runs. The Brewers had three consecutive pitches they connected for hits on, scoring three runs, and all of a sudden you blink for Hunter Green, and you're like, wait a minute, I've got three strikeouts, there's two outs in the inning, and all of a sudden these guys are ambushing me, and it's 5-0. That immediate just moment of panic I thought was so huge against a guy that obviously settled into his own the rest of the game, but for another example of leadoff man gets aboard, Jake Bowers reached on a hit-by-pitch, and the Brewers made him pay. He would also allow another leadoff man to get aboard in the fourth. He would come in to score on the Jackson Chourio sack fly. The Brewers are not missing their chances with runners in scoring position, Augie.
Well, you look at what they did tonight. You look at the runners in scoring position. You look at what they've done over the last several games. Today they were 4-for-8 with runners in scoring position. I like this team, what they're doing. They're getting guys on base and they're taking advantage. And it doesn't make any difference if there's no outs, one outs, or two outs. They give you that good at-bats. And we're seeing these guys get a lot of two-strike hits, hitting the ball the opposite way, taking what they're given. But we're also seeing a lot of two-out hits and getting taking advantage of the opponents of getting a guy's on base, getting him in scoring position, even though there's two outs, they give you that good at bat and swinging the bat. But I tell you what, this ball club up and down the lineup, and you can go all the way from Chourio all the way down to Terang, all giving really good at bats and come in with big hits tonight, and they all paid off. When you look at a team that goes out there and they score seven runs on six hits, you know what they're doing? They're taking advantage of everything they can get, whether it be a walk, a hit, batter, whatever it is, they're taking advantage of it.
This season, the Brewers are currently leading baseball in hitting with runners in scoring position at 373. They have an OPS over 1,000 11 games in with runners in scoring position. Furthermore, in the last four games, we've been on this great stretch. They're obviously leading baseball these last four games with runners in scoring position. They are hitting 468. Again, 468, 22-for-47 with runners in scoring position. They have an on-base percentage of 500 with runners in scoring position, 4-for-8 tonight. And it's a lot of contact. I mean, again, there were two homers tonight. One of them was solo. The other one had a man on second for Yelly's homer. But everything else was just keeping the line moving, unselfish at-bats, and a whole lot of base runners and stolen bases against an elite pitcher. This is the style of baseball the Brewers are playing this year. We better get used to it sooner as opposed to later.
There's no question when you look at what this ball club does. And, you know, the one thing that's impressive, Dom, and we looked at it and everybody was saying the importance of having a Christian Yelich and Roy Rice and Adames and these guys going in there and swinging the bat well. And Contreras, of course, who is just doing a fantastic job with behind the plate and swinging the bat. But it's everybody else. It's everybody else up and down this lineup that's going out there and giving these good at-bats. And they're laying off some very tough pitches from the opposing pitchers. But they're working counts. They're being patient at the plate. They're taking what they're given. And I think when you look at those great stats you see, when you look at the OPS and the hitting with the RPS when you're hitting with runners in scoring position, that's unbelievable. How do you get that? You get that with team-wide, patient at the plate and doing what you're not what you want to do, but what you're expected to do is put the ball in play.
And they've certainly been doing that. My last third most important play isn't as sexy as you may think. I look back to the bottom of the sixth inning, okay? The Brewers just scored a run in the top half, so Bryce Wilson back out there for a shutdown inning. It's 7-2, and the top of the order is up. He allows a leadoff double to Jonathan India. But then the next three batters all pop out in a row. India never leaves second base. I thought that was the inning the Brewers won the game tonight, specifically not allowing, you know, of getting the shutdown inning in the bottom of the sixth and really kind of twisting the knife for the Reds, saying, no more. That Ellie Homer is the last thing I'm going to allow in Bryce Wilson hunkering down, and he earned the win tonight.
I think that's a really good point, especially when you think India is kind of a key to this ball club. When he can get on base and you have Steer doing what he's doing, he's one of the top in Major League Baseball. I believe he's tied in the RBIs and batting average, what he's doing at the plate. To get him to Bryce to pitch to him well, get him to pop up. But then you the rest of Candelario and Encarnacion, those guys are good hitters, and they've been swinging the bat well, and they're the mainstay of the Cincinnati ball club right now. To get through that inning, I thought was huge, especially after India had hit that good double.
He was very important today. I've got the player of the game poll up right now on my Twitter, at Dom_Catronio. This one's actually kind of all over the place. A few write-ins. Miley's leading the way right now at 47% of the vote, but you still got Perkins getting 32%, and Wilson still holding strong at 16%, but go make your voice heard at Dom_Catronio, or you can text or call us, 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. Brewers Extra Innings all year long is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank. With a local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities. It's to help your business succeed. This is commercial banking value that only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC. We'll be back with Augie and more of your texts here coming up shortly. 855-616-1620 on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Get to a few texts after a Brewers victory once again, 7-2 the final tonight. Adam in Gainesville, four straight games with seven or more runs. I know it's a small sample size, but I'm liking this version of baseball. Yelly looking good. Defense continues to be great. The young guys are showing they belong. We keep this up in time for our starting pitching to get healthy. We will be in a good spot for a postseason run. Another one, this one from Doug. This season reminding me of 2018 with Yelich doing what he's doing. Nobody expected that start or this start. It looks like an MVP. This one from the 608 area code. Please just leave Churio in the leadoff spot. This is his spot. The guy's an igniter, like the great Paul Molitor. Now, hey, be careful with that. Careful comparing to a Hall of Famer 2 weeks into the season. I think, Augie, you know a little thing or two about the igniter and what he was able to do early in his career. But I look at this lineup today. You know, today the guy who had the day off was Rhys Hoskins, and yesterday it was Churio. And the confidence that Pat Murphy has in Churio, it's, yeah, I'll put you at the top of the order. No big deal. And what does he do? He drives in two runs. He scores two runs. He had himself a solid day. I love Jackson Churio in the leadoff spot, and he's 20 years old.
Great job. Just like you said tonight, he had a big base hit, scored a run, got two RBIs. He scored two runs. He also had a sacrifice hit. He moved a run over. The kid is just swinging the bat very well. And what's so impressive on him, he doesn't go out there and try to overswing. He takes what he's given for a young player in his position, trying to get comfortable in his first major league season. To see his patience and how he's slowing the game down and taking what he's given, it's really impressive.
He's been very fun to watch. I look at the lineup kind of going down the box score here now. So he scores twice. William Contreras didn't score, but he drove in two runs. Yelly obviously had the homer and a walk today. The middle of the order kind of didn't do anything. Willie had a tough day, but Sal Frelick hit the ball hard twice, and he was robbed by Will Benson in right field. Jake Bauer scored a run. Blake Perkins had a great day once again, 1-for-2 with a homer. He's been loving hitting in Cincinnati. Joey Ortiz had a knock today. Bryce Turang had another knock and a run scored today. So a little bit of everything from just about everybody today. Loved that from the Brewers. And the mix of plug and play, right? So Yelly was DHing tonight. They put Sal in left, Churio in right, and Perkins in center. And this mix and match, we've seen so many different lineups already in the season. The depth on the position player front is already being shown off early in the season.
Sure, not only the depth, but the versatility that you have with this ball club. And that's what's been so exciting about them. You know, you look at guys in different positions, what you do. Ortiz has played fantastic at third base along with Dunn. And then you look at first base, Jake Bowers has just been fantastic over there. Everything looks so easy when it comes to him. But, you know, this game was a big game plan when you talk about it. And we all knew that, you know, Wade Miley's the ground ball pitcher and he had to do it. I thought a real key to the game, key to this game was Ortiz at third base. The double play balls, the way he handled himself. He had eight opportunities and did a good job. So this team, again, when you look at the Monday night, the first night, struggled defensively, made some errors, but they didn't hold back. Like next 2 days they come out, they play solid defense, and tonight the game was won because they went out and played some good, solid defense.
They were fantastic. In fact, one of the write-ins on Twitter for player of the game should be Joey Ortiz. He was involved with eight different plays, started a couple key double plays as well. And I want to remind folks, I know Monday night was a weird night for the defense. I don't think all of those errors were just on Joey. I'm sure they're being reviewed. Reese would certainly tell you he should have caught a couple of those balls, but Joey Ortiz is a shortstop. He is not a third baseman, and that's where he's going to get the majority of his playing time this season at third base. And the fact that tonight was a night that he immediately flushed it and got back on the saddle, I loved what we saw from Joey Ortiz. An evaluator asked me during spring training, who do you think is your team's best defender? And I said, without hesitation, it's Joey Ortiz. He has some of the fastest hands I've ever seen. And just to imagine him up the middle, maybe next year, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves here with the Willy Adames stuff and all that. I don't want to turn this into a negative, but to think of, you know, you're not going to lose a beat if Willy does depart. You're not going to lose a beat defensively with Joey Ortiz sliding the short, and he has been as advertised as a defensive wizard, no matter where you play him.
There's no doubt. I think when Don, you talk about Ortiz, what's so nice to watch when you watch him tonight is how he slows the game down when the ball has been hit to him. I mean, that first double play was not an easy double play. He had to come up with the backhand, come over the top, and make a good firm throw to Terang at second, then over to first for the double play, but those aren't easy. You got to make a good, steady play. And it's just so nice to see him, how he plays with confidence over there. He's, like you said, he's a natural shortstop, but he slows the game down and he makes the good play. Make the good play, don't rush. And I tell you what, he made some really good plays in defense tonight. I thought he was excellent.
He was fantastic. And quick on the lineup note that you were mentioning, I went to go check on it. So this was game 11, right? And the 10th different lineup the Brewers have used in these 11 games, going back to the defense. They've had Frelick in the leadoff spot, Churi in the leadoff spot, Oliver Dunn in the leadoff spot, so they've had a variety there. We've seen a variety at third base. We've seen a variety a little bit at third base between Monasterio and Ortiz and Dunn. We've seen Terang mostly at second base this year, a little bit of Ortiz there. We've only seen Gary Sanchez start three games, and now you're going to be in a stretch where they're going to face a lot of righties. I wonder if Gary would be catching tomorrow if they do play with Freddy Peralta being on the mound. But this team, man, position player-wise, Yelly being in the three spot is really becoming a catalyst and a great sort of fulcrum point because you've got two on-base guys in front of him, whether it's Churio or Contreras. Yelly can do both. Hoskins, Adames. If Gary's in there, he can certainly hit for power, too. And then he switched back to contact guys in the bottom half of this order. Where's the hole? Where's the flaw? It's not going to perform like this all year, but that's exactly kind of how you draw it up, the stereotypical get on base, power in the middle, get on base again.
It sure is. And, that Contreras at second, hitting second, I think, is just huge because he puts the ball in play. He doesn't strike out a lot. He puts the ball in play. Hits the ball to all fields. You can hit the ball at power. But, you know, Yelly now getting that patience. You know, you look at his focus at the plate is so important. And you look behind it with Adames, and you can put Rice behind that or Frelick or whoever you want. But those two, three, and four hitters are the strength of this ball club. They're the guys that you need, you're going to count on as the season goes along to keep everybody in the right frame of mind to go up and give good at-bats. But, you know, I give a lot of credit to Matt Arnold and what he's did. He's gone and got on and got some players that are versatile. What is the key to a Milwaukee Brewer team in the last 4 to 5 years or 6 or 7 years. It's his versatility. And I tell you what, Matt Arnold went up. He got some versatile players. He gave them to Murph. And I think Murph has done a great job of being able to implement these guys in games and getting everybody good playing time so everybody's up to the challenge of playing each and every day if they need to.
They've been fantastic. We're going to take another breather, come back with more. 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. Stay with us. Brewers win 7-2 on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
With Jerry Augustine, I'm Dominic Catronio. Brewers win 7-2. They'll go for a series win tomorrow against the Reds. And, you know, with only 13 games head-to-head nowadays, to go 3-1 to start the season early, and you've got your horse on the mound tomorrow in Freddy Peralta, very quietly, I mean, if you never want to overreact to games in April, but very quietly here, Augie, tomorrow's kind of the first semi-important game of the year. You're not going to overreact. The split's still just fine if they lose. But at the same time, to be up 3-1 when you need 7 wins to clinch a tiebreaker against a head-to-head team, tomorrow would be nice. And you have it lined up perfectly with Freddie getting the ball. I think tomorrow can be the first time you say, all right, let's turn up the intensity by a notch.
Yeah, no question. I think anytime you go in, you're playing. You know, we all say, and it's been said from year to year now, it's baseball's changed with this scheduling the way it is, but still, you got to play well within your division. Set a tone for the divisional play. The first time you go out, you play a Cincinnati Red team, which everybody says is going to be a great ball club this season. You go in and you win a series, and in your first series against the division opponent, that says something. That sets the tone and said, you know what, we're in this division too, and we're going to go out and we're going to play hard, and we're going to vie to try to win this division just as we did last year. And I think this is a good game and a big game for the Brewers to set the tone, saying, hey, just to let you know, the Brewers are in this division, and we're out to win it.
Once again, it goes back to like the first comments that Christian Yelich said during spring training, and I said it during all the Pecota projections when all that came out, and pretty much all of them had the Brewers in fourth or fifth in the division. Yes, the division was going to be a tight division, but I just sit here, I'm saying, look, the computers haven't been watching what we've been watching, and I know there's subjectivity to all of this, and there's variables and all that. You can't tell me that the Brewers won't be competitive at the start of the year. You just won't. You just can't. And quite frankly, being 8-3 is further validation that, yes, they are going to be competitive with their current roster because they've been mostly healthy. Look, aside from Garrett Mitchell, and then the pitching, arguably their biggest weakness, if you will, especially the starting pitching, has had a couple of blows to it. Just getting Wade Miley back today. Jacob Junis is out. You didn't know what you were going to get about Aaron Ashby on Monday, and he pitched better than his line indicated. Colin Ray's been good. Joe Ross was great on Tuesday. I sit here and say, like, why are we surprised? Why does the rest of the national media have to be reminded every single year that the Brewers have the third most wins in the National League since 2005? That's not by accident. They have a model. It works. They believe in being competitive every year, and they're doing it again right now.
You're exactly right. And you look at this ball club. You know, coming this season, I think a lot of prognosticators went out and they said, you know, this ball club is going to be fourth or fifth in the division because of what happened. Well, you lose your number one guy, you lose your first two guys. And, you know, when that happens, who are you going to step to? Are you going to step up to Freddie? He's going to be your number one guy. But you know what? They went out, what Matt Arnold did, he went out and got some arms and give an opportunity that you can come in and be a starter on this ball club. And that's what he's done. There's a lot of guys. It's not 5 starters that you have all season anyway. It's usually 7, 10 guys that you use in the starting rotation, with the key being, I think the key for this ball club as starting rotation really is Freddie and with Colin Ray. I think those two guys are a key for the starting rotation. But when I looked at this ball club and I looked at all the coaches coming back they had last year, I looked at them defensively. They're going to be strong defensively. What is going to win the division? What helps you win the division? Your bullpen. And they had those great young arms that they finished out with last year. And you had Devin Williams, who's the best in all of baseball at closing. And now they don't have him, but they have guys who can step up. Bullpens wins pennants, and this ball club has as good a bullpen as anybody in Major League Baseball.
I mean, think about it. The team is going to continue to get better as the season goes on. Their starters will get more experience, especially a guy like D.L. Hall, a guy like Joe Ross as he continues to refine his stuff after missing the better part of the last 2 years. They'll get Devin Williams back from injury. They'll get Garrett Mitchell back from injury. This team is naturally going to get better with the talent that they are bringing back. And, oh, by the way, their rookie, Jackson Chourio, has been off to a great start. Another rookie, Oliver Dunn, has not skipped a beat. He had the night off tonight, but he's been great over at third base. They had 12 guys on the opening day roster that had never been on an opening day roster before, and here they are, 8-3. I sound like I'm ranting because I kind of am. I'm sick of having to explain to everybody else who only want to pay attention to the Cubs and only want to pay attention to the Cardinals and say, oh, those two guys, they're going to win the division. It's a weak division. No, it's a great division. All five teams have a chance to win this division. The Reds will be back. The Reds are very good. The Pirates seem to be for real. They have a great bullpen as well, like you're saying. I'm ranting, but I'm saying this is going to be a competitive team. Be ready. It is April 10th. There's a lot of season to go, but all signals say, buckle up. We'll see you at the ballpark this summer.
Well, I think you said it perfectly. This is a team with a lot of young players. The 12 players, like you just said, are never been on an opening day roster before, are getting that opportunity. They're hungry players. And the one thing I really like about this organization and what they've done and what they've tried to how good they want to be. There's no limits on how good you can be. There's no saying that, oh, you're only this good. You can go out and be as good as you want to be. And I always say that one famous thing that I heard Kobe Bryant say one time, he said, you know what? There's no I in team, but there's a me. And that me is integral in making a team. And I'll tell you what, every me gets better, the team's going to get better.
They're going to be really darn good. Jerry Augustine joining us here on WTMJ. No post-game show tomorrow with it being a day game, but appreciate your time as always, my friend, and we'll chat soon.
All right, Dom. See you later. Great game.
All right. Another W for Augie's record and for the Brewers' record, of course. 7-2, the final. Let me get to a few more texts coming up after the break. Stay with us. 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620. Stay with us. WTMJ.
Hey, Sandy Max here to tell you about an awesome party at Three Pillars in scenic Lake Country for the groundbreaking of their one-of-a-kind adult living community, The Fields at Three Pillars. Friday, April 12th from 1 to 3 p.m. Construction will soon begin on this incredible new community nestled along the Bark River with 110 residences and amenities like restaurants, spa, pub, dog park, pickleball, and more. It's already one of the most sought-after senior communities in the state and will be at Three Pillars live for the groundbreaking. Learn more at ThreePillars.com.
Outdoor living is great, but it's best when it's at your own home. Well, there's a company called Outdoor Living Unlimited that will build you a deck, a patio, pergola, fire pit, all manner of things to enhance outdoor living at your place, even an outdoor kitchen. Get started right away. Contact Outdoor Living Unlimited now. Get your yard project onto Outdoor Living Unlimited's calendar while there's still openings. OutdoorLivingUnlimited.com.
Heat pumps have been the norm down south, but they're new up here, and I'm a big advocate for them. They're far more efficient than conventional AC systems and serve as a backup to your furnace, too. They don't use gas, and they're really efficient. And that's why the government basically pays for a big portion of these babies with rebates. So before you install a conventional AC system, ask the man in the red van about an Armstrong air heat pump.
You gotta see the man in the red van. Quality heating
Manufacturers can void a warranty if annual maintenance can't be proven. Having a preventive maintenance agreement on your HVAC system keeps your warranty in check, helps avoid nuisance calls and your system failing at inopportune times. You get 15% off parts and labor on repairs, no trip charges, discounted pricing for replacements, and priority service. This is Anthony Zanewski with Quality Heating. See the man in the red van about a preventive maintenance agreement starting at only $25.50 per month.
Quality Heating.
WTMJ's Vince Vitrano for Orthopedic Associates of Wisconsin. Injuries happen, but you don't have to play in pain or stay on the sidelines. Whether it's your kids dealing with a sports injury, college athletes, or the rest of us weekend warriors, the experts at Orthopedic Associates of Wisconsin will quickly diagnose your problem, lay out a treatment plan that works for you, and get you back in the game. They fixed my knee. My mother-in-law is back on the dance floor with a new hip. These are the experts you can trust. Visit orthowisconsin.com.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers win 7-2. They'll go for the series win tomorrow. Freddy Peralta against Nick Martinez. Let me get to a few of these tech stuff falling behind. Some Bob in Saratoga. Dude, I don't care about your thoughts about dome stadiums. I love that ours is a retractable roof. It's not a dome stadium. It snowed last Wednesday. Stop texting me about dome stadiums. I don't care. Next up, MVP is Pat Murphy. If he keeps this up, he will be the manager of the year. That one from Doug. How funny would it be? It would be actually hilarious if Pat Murphy wins manager of the year in his first year as manager of the Brewers when Craig Counsell never won it. That would be honestly hilarious. And the way he can do it is by winning the division. Right? Right? That has to be the way, right? Anyway, this one from Mike in Colorado. Question, why can't the Brewers offense continue on this level or close to it for the rest of the year? I know it's really early, but anything is possible. Because there's a book on everybody, and everyone comes back to earth. That's why we keep averages for 162 games, not just 11 games. You know, to think of it like this, we are not even 10% into the season. We're about 9% into the season, okay? Go grab a glass of water, okay? And let's say it holds, you know, 1,000 milliliters, right? Well, just go ahead and pour 90 milliliters of water and see how little that is. They're going to be competitive. I'm not saying they're going to definitely win the division, but I'm saying they're going to be competitive. They're going to be in the mix, and quite frankly, no one else in the National League has really started to run away with things right now. Pittsburgh's obviously 9-3. Milwaukee's 8-3 now. Atlanta's 7-3. We know they're going to be good. But then Philly's 6-6. L.A., we know they're going to be good. No one else in the West is above 500. So, I mean, there's even an opportunity here that the Central Division could snag a wild card spot, one of the three wild cards. Again, we're very early in this. We're like two drops of water into a whole glass. But I still love what I'm seeing, and I will reiterate, Devin's coming back All-Star break time. They're hoping Garrett Mitchell around June 1st. And I just see so much talent oozing around this team to keep them in the mix. And the Brewers, they'll see the Pirates coming up in the month. They're also going to have a tough test in a couple of weeks with the New York Yankees. And that'll be a great litmus test early in the season. They get Baltimore this weekend. Team's in good shape to figure out who they're going to be. And I really believe that they're going to find out what they need at the deadline. They could be adding at the deadline. Once again, of course, injuries are always a variable that you can't plan for, but there will be some that are key and that happen later on in the season. We're going to hear from the skipper, Pat Murphy, coming up next. Stay with us. We'll be going just past the top of the hour right here in your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
As the Brewers win by a 7-2 final, I'm Dominic Catronio. This was a fun one. Let's get right into it.
Get up!
This?
Get up!
And this?
Get out of here! Go!
Time for tonight's highlights. Here's Dominic Catronio.
Things started out quickly tonight. Hunter Green on the mound for the Reds. And it was Wade Miley making his return for the Brewers. A leadoff walk, though. You know how things roll when that happens. William Contreras would ground out, but there was a stolen base in there. So Churio on second, one out, and Christian Yelich at the plate.
Green brings home the pitch. Slider hammered out to right. Going back is Benson at the track. Wall gone! Christian Yelich, number five on the season. A two-run shot, and the Brewers have jumped out to a 2-0 advantage here in Cincinnati.
Lane Grindle on the call here on WTMJ, so a hot start. In the bottom half of the first inning, Wade Miley only needed about 2 minutes and 40 seconds to get through the first on just 10 pitches, and the Brewers got right back to work in the second. Jake Bowers led off the inning getting hit by a pitch, but the next two batters would be retired. With two outs, Bryce Terang lined a single the other way. It put runners on first and second for the young kid, Jackson Churio.
First pitch to him. Slider, ground ball through the left side. That's a base hit. Bauer's around third. He's headed for home. Here's the throw. It's not in time. And the throw gets by the catcher all the way back to the backstop. So moving up 90 more feet are Terang and Churio. Jackson drives in another. It's 3-0 Milwaukee here in the top of the second.
Lane once again, as that made it 3-0. The next batter in the next pitch. Wild Bill is loose.
Green's first pitch to Contreras is a ground ball through the right side and into right field for a base hit. Terang will score. Churio motoring around third and cruises home. A two-run single for Contreras, and the Brewers all over the Reds early. It's 5-0, Crew.
You blink, 11 batters into the game, and it was 5-0 Milwaukee. A three-run, two-out rally there in the second inning. Wade Miley, meanwhile, is rolling. Got a little bit of help from his defense in the third.
3-2 pitch. Hit hard on the ground towards first. What a play by Bowers. Diving on the backhand. He's got it and wins the race to the bag with Benson in time for the outs. That's the second spectacular defensive play by Jake Bowers over at first base already tonight.
He has been great. He made a couple of great scoops in this one as well. But the Brewers' offense wasn't finished yet either. In the fourth inning, Jackson Churio added a sacrifice fly. And with Hunter Green still on the mound in the sixth inning, Blake Perkins made his presence known.
Green from the windup, the 1-0 pitch. High fly ball, deep right field. Benson retreating to the track. Wall, bye-bye baseball! Blake Perkins with his first of the year. And the Brewers lead it 7-2.
Once again, Lane on the call, 7-2 after Wade Miley exited after four innings and one run of ball. Bryce Wilson earned the win with three innings of one-run ball. The bullpen was fantastic as well. Hobie Milner got back on track in the eighth inning, as did J.B. Bukauskas in the ninth, as the Brewers win by a final of 7-2. They'll go for the series win tomorrow. We'll preview it after this on WTMJ.